Hi, everyone, and welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 67. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. Boy, today is a great show. We got a lot to talk about today. Starting right off the bat, I'm going to get into a giveaway that I'm going to be doing for this podcast. So, first of all, if you've listened to any other Podnuts podcasts out there, one of my favorite podcasts that I actually, when I first started listening to podcasts, was Linux for the Rest of Us. And I listened to episode 208 last week. They talked about Ubuntu Mate and upgrading from Windows or OS X. And they talked a little bit about the new book put out by Larry Bushy from the Going Linux podcast with that title. It's Ubuntu Mate, a guide for computer users upgrading from Windows or OS X. And many of you out there listening, you probably subscribe to the Going Linux podcast. But I just want to add a sort of personal message about that podcast. Larry has helped me out a couple of times in the past. I've emailed him several times with questions about Linux when I was first starting out. And every single time that I emailed him, he had a very quick response, and he was very helpful with helping me get into Linux and become enthusiastic about it. And he was always just sort of gone over the top with helping me out with any of my questions. He's given me ideas for projects in the summertime. He has just been a member of the Linux community that has helped me out tremendously. He may not even realize some of the things he's done, but I just wanted to give him a shout out. So just a few days ago, I was sort of kind of thinking, you know, what can I do for a giveaway for my listeners to this podcast? And literally at the same exact time that I was thinking this, I just happened to check my email, and I got an email from Dor mentioning this book. And so so Podnuts has sent me a copy of this book, Ubuntu Mate, Upgrading from Windows or OS X. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to offer a giveaway, and I will pick one person to send this book to. If you're interested, just go to my website, mrptechreviews.com, hit the contact form, and all I want you to do is either give a comment on one of the last few episodes of this show, or give me ideas for new shows in the future. And depending on how many people actually do that, what I will do is I will find a way to put all the names together for people who have made comments, and I'll pick one person. I'll send you this this book absolutely free as a giveaway just for listening to this show. So I'm super excited to promote this book. Nobody asked me to do it. But number one, I'm a big fan of Ubuntu Mate. I think Martin Wimpress is doing an amazing job with that Linux operating system. And I also am a big fan of the Going Linux podcast. I can't speak highly enough of either of those two. And so if I can in some way help this book get some press, that's what I'm going to do. So if you're interested in getting a chance for a free gift from the MRP Tech Podcast, just go to my website, mrptechreviews.com, hit the contact form, and just give me ideas for upcoming shows, in particular, maybe Raspberry Pi projects. I did just get a hold of a Raspberry Pi 2, or future topics for the show. It can be anything. Or just comments on the last few episodes. I'd really appreciate that. So great giveaway. I'm sure other shows on the Podnuts Network are going to be doing this as well. I'm just supporting and giving my support back to people who have helped me in the past. So thanks to them for the help. And I'm excited to be able to give this book away to somebody, one of my listeners. So go ahead and do that. I would love to hear from all of you. So speaking of the Going Linux podcast and other Linux-based podcasts out there, I mentioned earlier that Linux for the Rest of Us is probably one of my favorite podcasts from when I started podcasting years ago. And the last episode of that show, well, it's not the last episode now, but two episodes back, episode 208, really got me thinking about Linux again. I've been really busy and just trying to get through the summer here. And I was sort of looking for a little project. And from time to time, Linux Academy crossed my mind and getting back into that. There's a couple of things that have sort of stood in my way from just going Linux full time. I love Linux and I'm hesitant to give up some of the things that some of the ease that I get from using Apple products when it comes to production environments, especially live music production. And I'm sure some of you are probably shouting at your pod catcher right now that Linux is better than Apple, and I, for the most part, I definitely agree with all of you out there in that. There's always been a few hiccups for me when it came to just diving in with everything Linux-wise. And when I listened to Linux for the Rest of Us 208, one of the comments that I that sort of struck me, and I'm paraphrasing here, is Cody Cooper was talking about using Linux and not being afraid of sort of making mistakes and learning as you go. And that's one of my favorite things about Linux is that, I sort of know enough now about Linux to make my way around a system. I'm good in the command line. I'm not an expert by any means when it comes to some of the deep down functionality. I don't write my own kernels or anything like that. But I definitely recommend Linux to people that I run into on the street. I was just talking with one of my employees and mentioning Linux to him. He's a high school student who is going to go to college soon for computer science and never had used Linux before. So I was trying to get him to start that process. And I think I got him going. I think he tried out Ubuntu. I think he kind of liked it because he sort of fixed his Windows computer with an Ubuntu live image. So after listening to that, it sort of inspired me again to get back into some Linux stuff because I sort of like those projects. I like having to use my brain and think about things a little differently. And so that last episode of Linux for the Rest of Us sort of inspired me to maybe not be so afraid of that leap that seems to have stopped me in the past from going to Linux full time. And so basically the things that have really stopped me, number one, using my sound setup for live music performances, I'm fairly certain that I could get this Windows or Mac-based, well, the Windows-based software to work in Wine with some configuration. I've heard of other people using it in the past, and there's a couple other things that, as far as putting on a music performance, that I would need a couple of very specific Personas software to sort of integrate functionality with my live soundboard. And the other thing is sort of like video editing and being able to quickly record something, edit it, and get it out without having to have much fuss. And that part of it seems to be improving on a monthly basis or even yearly basis over the last couple of years. So I'm not so afraid of that aspect of it. But I'm sort of working to get back into Linux as September rolls around and looking for some projects as well. So definitely big shout out to the Door-to-Door Geek and Cody Cooper for kind of giving some inspiration in their last episode of their podcast. So moving along now, one of the things that I kind of want to get into is a few things I'm really excited about as far as Linux-based stuff over the next few months. I really would like to take a look at System76's new OS, the Pop OS. I'm hearing a lot of good things about it. I'm anxious to try it because I do have a System76 computer as my primary Linux machine at this point. In other podcasts that I have recorded, I've talked about a test machine that I had, an old Dell laptop. And I just recently sort of took out the internals of that laptop and recycled it because it was aging and couldn't really do a whole lot with it. I always ran into issues on that particular computer and really wasn't something that I could use every day for testing anymore. It had I think a Core 2 Duo on it. It was running very slowly, even with an SSD and upgraded RAM. It just was not working for me anymore. So I that was a computer that had been given to me at one point in time, specifically for testing Linux-based operating systems out. Worked great for a really long time. Just had to recently recycle that. So I'm down to my System 76, where I'm going to be swapping hard drives, testing out Linux distros. Along with Pop! OS, I'm really excited coming in October about the next release of Ubuntu. I have been reading articles on all of the great stuff that they've been doing. And I think they're really headed in a really good direction. Going back to basics, basically, and I think they're going to get it right. I think this will be like an incremental step. I think they're making the changes that they need to for the next long-term release to be a really solid upgrade from the last few years. I'm excited to check that out in October. In the meantime, here's a couple of things I want to talk to you guys about, what I've been doing. I mentioned earlier that I came across a Raspberry Pi 2. I'm looking for projects. I haven't really decided yet exactly what I'm going to do with it. One of the things I've considered is building an own cloud server, or another thing that I would like to do with it is maybe get into some ham radio stuff with it. When it comes to that, it may be just a little shy in the resources department, but I do know a lot of people out there are using Raspberry Pis for amateur radio. So I'm going back and forth, and might do some testing and try different things out. So if you got ideas, send them my way. Also, things that I've been working on just recently. Many of you out there probably read or listened to this book. This is a book that I've always wanted to read over the last 4 or 5 years when I first heard about it. It's been out forever. I was a little skeptical of reading this book because it is a little dated. And the book I'm talking about is 1984 by George Orwell. And I'm not a real big, you know, conspiracy nut or anything like that. Sometimes I say things more in humor than anything else, but this book sort of interested me several years ago with everything that happened with Edward Snowden and data and privacy concerns. You hear me talking about Google and Microsoft and Apple, all these different companies and big data instead of Big Brother. The book started to interest me, and I really wanted to go back and listen to it, and because I have an Audible subscription. And so the book that I chose was the New Classic Edition, narrated by Simon Preble, Prebble. And it's about 11 and a half hours long if you choose to do the audiobook version. Most of you, I'm not going to give you the summary of what it's about. Most of you know what it's about. But I will say that in the first hour listening to the book, I was just blown away by the forethought that Orwell had back in 1949 when this book was written. Some of the terminology in the book is a little dated, you know, but I think it suits even today, being, you know, 2017. I think that everything in the book is just so well thought out of the dystopian future. And it amazes me that some of the concepts in this book that are absolutely happening today weren't even in many people's minds back in that time period, and to come up with this story revolving, you know, there not being privacy and not being able, you know, the whole civilization having being restricted and can only do certain things. And the book just has blown my mind. And I'm not going to go the route of saying that we're living in that 1984 dystopia at this point in time. That's not my intention. But the book is a great story. And I think if you've never, if you've thought about reading this book in the past, and you haven't yet, I would seriously highly recommend it because it is an excellent book. My limitations, I was sort of holding myself back because thinking, well, you know, it's 2017 and 1984 is a long time ago. But I think the book does a good job of making the point that most of the characters in the book have no idea really what the date is, and they're guessing it's about 1984. And so it could apply to just about any time period, which I think is really cool. So again, this is a book that I chose to listen to. The narrator is fantastic, and highly encourage you guys all to take a listen to it. Up next, last week, as I finished my summer series that I had been working on, one of the things that I mentioned is that I was trying the new version of OBS Studio. That's version 20. This landed probably around August 10th, I would guess. And I didn't have a chance to try it for probably a good couple weeks. I updated my System 76 computer, and I also had OBS on my Mac. And when I went to update OBS on Mac, you could check for updates right from the software itself. It said I was up to date, and then I went to the OBS website, and they did have the newest version out. So if you are using Mac, you need to go directly to the OBS website. So if you're using OBS on Mac, what you need to do is actually go to the website and download the newest version from there, and you'll be good to go. So if I could explain to you all that are listening, the one piece of software that has changed my workflow more than any other piece of software this past year, it's going to be Open Broadcaster software. And I don't say that lightly. When I first started podcasting, I was recording with Audacity, and then I came across Ardour, and I really liked Ardour. I would record in Ardour and then sort of post-edit in Audacity, and I ran into a few issues for a while with a couple of different things that I needed, and then I switched back to just using Audacity. And when I was recording with Audacity, there were often times that the recordings wouldn't come out. I'd have to record the podcast two or three times. And I just don't have a lot of time to do that. And I really started looking at OBS. And at the same time, I was getting into live streaming, and which, by the way, I do want to get back into now that my schedule is opening up a little bit. Live streaming occasionally on YouTube. And also, it has helped me professionally with live streaming concerts and not having to pay for a streaming service. OBS has been flawless. And when I heard about OBS 20 landing, I was really stoked, and I was wondering what kind of new features that they were going to be coming up with. First of all, when I upgraded OBS, and opened it for the first time, it looked exactly the same as it did before. And I thought, this is awesome. And so I did hear a lot about the new theming that has been put in place. And you have the option of some darker themes. I never really cared for the black and white theme that they had, but it worked. So you can go under some of the drop-down menus and change the view, look at some of the docs, and you can unlock the UI so that you can do basically whatever you want. And one of the newest features is the modular UI. So when you first open OBS, it doesn't look that much different. But as soon as you unlock the UI, you can move menus and all of the different elements of the UI can be adjusted, and you can place them wherever you want. So you can fully customize OBS to whatever your needs are. You can have them all in one window. You can move them to multiple windows, and it's all going to be exactly the way that you need it. And it's pretty seamless. I mean, if you go to the OBS website, it's amazing. They got some demonstrations on what you can actually do with this. You can change where the mixers are, the scene transitions. You can do whatever you really want to. And when I apply the dark theme to it, this looks like professionally released software now. It really does look very appealing, and that's important to some people. Not so much for me. As long as it works, I'm happy with it. But the new themes are great, and you have a few different themes that you can choose from. I'll let you go ahead and try those out if it's something you're interested in. Another kind of cool thing is the preview zooming. You can sort of scale back the windows, and basically you're changing the canvas resolution to work better with what you need to be able to see as you're trying to record. It's really has to do with capturing 1080p windows and then viewing it in a default preview screen. What I would say here is, previously with OBS, there was a couple of just small things that I think needed to be improved upon, and this ability to scan the scale back the preview itself, and giving you more rooms to do other things, it's really kind of cool that they've actually taken the time and fixed some of these things. Another thing that they've added is things like if your audio is clipping, now you're getting visual notifications. I never got that in OBS before, so it's really handy as you're sitting in front of a mic or connecting this to other devices that are inputting audio. You're getting instant feedback on the quality of your audio, which is something that I look for, especially in live music production environments. They've added some other support, like FTL support and source updates. All those things I'm pretty familiar with. I just I don't really use a lot of those different things. The source updates is kind of cool. You're being able to use things like auto detect of video formats. That's all really handy. Makes it easier to use, and just really adds a little bit of polish to OBS, which I absolutely think needed to happen. And I think they're doing a great job doing that. So I'm really excited for OBS 20. I'm using it right now to record the podcast. I will also be using it next week for a live music production, music performance. And so I'm looking forward to giving it a good solid test run over the next couple of weeks. And if you have used OBS 20 and you're using it for specific applications, let me know. I'd be curious about it. I've seen nothing but rock solid from this latest release from the OBS guys. So give them big props for continuing to make this awesome product even better. So next up on my list is just an app pick for you. And it has nothing to do with audio, video production or anything like that. But over the summer, one of the apps that I use the most is, I think would be handy if you live near a water source of any kind, specifically rivers. And also handy in my case, because where I worked in the summertime, I work at a natural attraction. It's actually a 2 mile long canyon where we have a hiking trails, and we have several different operations, including a rafting operation. And one of the things that we do is we monitor river flows in order to better suit our customers and their safety when it comes to the river flow itself. And so previously, what I would do is I always go online to the USGS online and get the river data. Many rivers around the country have water gauges on there that monitor river flow. And the USGS puts out this mobile water data, and you can type in basically any river in the country, and if it's being monitored for flow, you can tell what the current rate and flow of the river is in cubic feet per second. So a cubic foot of water is about 7.5 gallons. Is about 1.5 gallons of water. So why that is important is, say you live next to a river and you're constantly worried about your backyard getting flooded, or a shed or a garage. You can monitor the river conditions, let's say ahead of time, with the USGS, and you can maybe start putting the sandbags up, or putting up your wall to prevent the water from going into your property ahead of time, knowing that you're going to know the water is going to be rising. So you can monitor the data. It gives you a graphical format, and again, it's measured in cubic feet per second. So in some cases, the river that I was working on, basically how it works is the average is about 300 cubic feet per second where we are. And if it's a really heavy rain, because we're in a watershed from some of the mountains, the water will drain off the mountains into our rivers, and the water levels will spike up to anywhere from 4,000 to 14,000 cubic feet per second, or even higher, up to 60,000 cubic feet per second in conditions like Hurricane Irene back in 2011. And so we're able to just have knowledge of the current conditions. And even there's even a predictor on the NOAA website where you can predict what the flow is going to do. Is it going to go up, or is it going to go down from that point in time? So the app pick that I have for you today is just called River Data. This is for iOS, and it basically takes the info from the USGS and makes it easy to have access on your phone, called River Data again. And if you live next to a river and you're interested in just kind of monitoring water levels, or just something you might be interested in, it's a cool app. And I'm sure there's one for Android as well. I just could not find the name of it as I was setting up for today's show. So something that I recommend, if you have property near a river or a water source, and that water source has a gauge on it, saves you a little time and may actually save you some money from preventing things like flooding and damage and that sort. So I just wanted to pass that information on to you in case it might be useful for you in the future. And with that said, we have talked about a lot of things today. Ideas for future shows. We got a giveaway for Ubuntu Mate book. We also talked about some audiobooks that I'm listening to. We're back to the weekly format now, guys, and I'm really excited to talk to you about a bunch of things. I wanted to put a bunch more in this week's episode, but we are getting low on time here. So what I'm going to say to you all is, if you'd like that free copy of the Ubuntu Mate book, send me, again, go to mrptechreviews.com and click the contact form. Send me comments from any of the last few shows you've listened to, or give me ideas for future shows. I'd be happy to do that. And I'll pick one person out of all the people who respond, and I'll send the book to. I will probably do this at the end of September. I'll give this a couple of weeks for those of you to give me some ideas here. And other than that, guys, just again, a thank you for to the Podnuts Network, and especially the Door-to-Door Geek for hooking me up with that book. And I'm excited to be able to do a giveaway for all of you. And if you would like to support Podnuts, go to podnuts.com and give them a donation. They do so much. It's hard to even explain how much goes on at Podnuts. It's just a great group of guys, really down-to-earth people who are working really hard for you all to have quality podcasts for you to listen to and enjoy. And the best thing you can do is to support them. If you want to support me directly, the best way to do it is over at mrptechreviews.com. There's a couple ways you can do that. Go check out that site. And other than that, guys, this is going to be it for this week. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.